This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live is a Phase 4 stimulus package on the way. We'll talk about that and more today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And there is talk already from both the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, from the Democrat side, and also the President of the United States, who tweeted out this morning about the potential for a fourth stimulus bill. The way Nancy Pelosi explained it like this, like the first two bills were really about emergency response. The third stimulus, which is the one we've talked about the most with the payments going to individuals, the loans that are available that can turn into grants, that was about kind of mitigating the stay-at-home orders, mitigating the effects this will have on our economy. And the fourth should be about recovery. Sounds good from Nancy Pelosi, except for we know we'd be back in that situation where likely the House bill would be full of items that we would need the Senate to be extremely vigilant on to remove. I'm sure they'd be back with Planned Parenthood funding, back with a new Green Deal funding, back with, alternative energy for airlines while airlines are canceling flights into New York City. You've seen the first airline do that in the United States. And so, again, the broader idea of this, though, when you listen to what the president had to say about it, he tweeted this: with interest rates for the United States being at zero, this is the time to do our decades-long awaited infrastructure bill.
Right.
It should be very big and bold. $2 trillion, so he's got a price tag on it, $2 trillion, and be focused solely on jobs and rebuilding the once great infrastructure of our country. Phase four.
I think that is a brilliant idea. It should receive wide bipartisan support. The infrastructure in the United States has been something that three, four administrations in a row have talked about, and now is the opportunity. Number one, you're going to put a lot of people to work. Number two, you're going to improve our infrastructure. Number three, it's a historic time to do it with interest rates being that low. So I agree with the president. I think this is the right move. I think there is going to be probably need for a phase four of this. We're going to get a better understanding today what the long-term, when I say long-term, next 3 or 4 months are going to look like for the country. But this kind of move is really, really important.
Yeah, I mean, Than, let's go back to Washington, D.C. This would mean Congress coming back together, having to work at some point in a bipartisan way. I'd expect that if the House were to take this up first, it would be full of items. We'd be at to be ACLJ like we did last time, working around the clock on that language to make sure that those items aren't, she doesn't try to sneak them. She will try to put them in there, that we get them out, we keep them out through the Senate process and then through the final legislation that comes through, because overall we'd be supportive of getting Americans back to work, getting infrastructure. This is something we talked about a long time, and utilizing this may be the best time to actually do it. But of course, we'd have to be so vigilant in preparing for any kind of, when you talk about $2 trillion of spending, to make sure we're not going to be spending on items that people object to.
And I think we have a pretty good time idea what that timeline is going to look like, Jordan. Both the House and the Senate have said that they're going to come back on April 20th. Look, it's not because the pandemic will be over by then. It's because that's when they believe that the phase four will be necessary. But Jordan, look, I agree with you. The devil's going to be in the details here. Shifting at some point to recovery from mitigation is absolutely going to happen. But that can look two very different ways. You talked about an infrastructure package. That could be very positive. Jordan, if shifting to recovery means wind and solar tax credits, if it means, you know, tens of millions of dollars for the Kennedy Center, if it means corporate board diversity, that won't do anything to shift us to recovery. So we can print more money, sure, but you've got to aim it in a way that actually helps the people who have been suffering by this. And I predict to you, as we come down the road to April 20th, there will be two very different dynamics. The House will reflect one approach, the Senate will reflect the others, and we're going to have to be right in the middle of that.
So as you see, they're already prepared to come back. They know that this is the last stimulus was not the end for the legislation that's going to be necessary in combating COVID-19, and of course then the recovery from COVID-19, getting that already started before we've even hit necessarily peaks of the virus. But getting the legislation started is important. They've already got it on the mark, so we know we have something to look towards to. We've got to fight and you know, be very cautious about when you talk about $2 trillion. Remember our matching challenge, final day, double the impact your donation at aclj.org. Make that donation online.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. The biggest issue that is developing right now, of course, is the idea of a phase four. It's coming from both Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, and from President Trump. President Trump has endorsed a phase four plan as well. This would be a plan to solely focused, as he said, on jobs and rebuilding infrastructure. So because we've got interest rates at zero, people that aren't working, and infrastructure that does need to be rebuilt at a time when it's actually, you know, there's less people on the roads. There's less people using airports. There's less people using the methods of travel. So
it
would actually be less disruption to the American worker because people are not leaving their homes. People are not using the subway systems the same way, the transportation systems the same way, and the roads need it. The airports need it, there's so much kind of infrastructure surrounding that.
You know, I think, look, I'm supporting it. I think it's the right move. I do want to talk about something, though, for a few minutes. And we've got Skip Ash on the phone, and I believe we got Colonel Wes Smith. So Colonel Ash and Colonel Smith are both with us to talk about the utilization of the Defense Production Act. You saw the USS Comfort arriving in New York. People are asking, boy, that's the military. Can the military do that? Skip, before we get to Wes, we'll get to Wes in a moment here. But Skip, there's always this tension, and it's a healthy tension, between military engagement and civil affairs.
Well, that's exactly right. The military exists primarily to win our nation's wars and to protect us from outside military threats. But there are times when the military has the organization and the equipment and the expertise, the leadership, to be able to bring in, for peacetime purposes, in crises like this, to be able to provide those ships to bring in MASHs, which are mobile hospitals. You'll recall when the tornadoes or the hurricanes hit in the Gulf Coast, they come in to evacuate people, the Coast Guard and so forth. The military has the ability and is equipped in many ways to be able to do things that the civilian first responders cannot do. So it's important to keep that in mind.
So I want me to go to Colonel Smith, to Wes Smith, who's joining us via Skype, I believe. Wes, let's talk about what the DPA is. The president utilized that the other day. What is it?
Yeah, the Defense Production Act, it requires businesses to sign contracts or to fulfill orders based on national defense. It's not unprecedented to use it. It's actually been around since 1950 when Harry Truman signed it into law for the first time. because of the Korean War effort. And he was trying to, and he actually did, he controlled wages and prices as well as allocated goods for the war effort then. And so even though it has defense in its title, it's crafted in such a way so that presidents can use it for any number of things, not just a war effort, but things like natural disasters and national emergencies. For example, Jay, during the 1970s, the struggling Chrysler Corporation was ordered by the federal government to produce M1 Abrams tanks for the war effort in Vietnam. President Obama used it in 2012 to go to technology companies under the threat of criminal prosecution to provide to the government information about the hardware and the software that they were importing from other countries because of concerns about Chinese cyber espionage. Bill Clinton used it. George Bush used it. George W. Bush to help California during an energy crisis. So it's been used a lot over the years. It's been around since 1950. It's been modified a number of times over the years by Congress, but basically is pretty much intact as it was first used. And it allows the president to actually control certain sections of civilian production and even the economy if there is a national emergency.
You know, Skip, some, I appreciate that, Wes. Skip, some libertarians, some conservatives have been very concerned about utilization of this. I think you always have to be careful. There's a balance between all of these issues. But in the scale in that balance, you have to tip inside of defending public safety. And we're in a public safety crisis right now.
Absolutely. The thing to be concerned about would be if the military were exercising control as the in lieu of the civilian government. Here we have the military coming in support of the governors of the various states, in support of civilian authorities to provide where needs are provided. Therefore, they're not in a law enforcement role or anything else, which is an extreme danger in a democratic society. But in this case, they're there to provide services at the beck and call and at the request of the governors of the various states. And therefore, they have assets that they can get to places that quickly and that they can implement without in any way having to interfere with the civilian law enforcement aspect.
Yeah, Wes, let me ask you this. So we know there's this healthy tension, but as you see the situation right now, your analysis of the actions that have been taken thus far, I mean, obviously the worst weeks are yet ahead. So the National Guard has been mobilized in some area. These are the things you expect in a time of crisis like this, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Skip's right. We're not there to do law enforcement in the military. We're there to really support and to add to the abilities of state and local governments like that. We talked earlier about the Defense Production Act. That act actually has nothing to do with the hospital ships or federal troops going in to help a city and setting up a field hospital. Where that has come into play most recently by President Trump is that last week he invoked it in order to force GM to quit trying to negotiate the price and the deadlines for ventilators and force them to actually start producing them. That's an appropriate use of the DPA. And again, it has nothing to do with troops or hospital ships. This was actually going to a company that was, you know, in all honesty, sort of dilly-dallying around and trying to go back and forth negotiating. And finally, President Trump cut to the chase and said, look, produce the ventilators. And in actuality, and he's taken some criticism for this, but, you know, he's being very, very restrained and moderate in how he uses the DPA, because in actuality, if you look at the coronavirus and what's going on in our society, he could do a lot more. For example, we are short on PPE, personal protective equipment, gowns, gloves, masks, and there has been price gouging. There's been a lot of nefarious things going on in the background. He has not yet pulled the trigger to actually address that as well. At this point, he's only using the DPA to try and come up with ventilators, which are we really need in a dire way.
Well, and Skip, I think that it's important for people to understand, too, that even when the president is using the Defense Production Act to require these companies to do this, instead of just asking, as we were talking about, they were kind of going back and forth on what they could do and what they weren't going to do. They're getting paid to do this. The U.S. government is not seizing these companies and then using their production equipment and materials and then not giving them anything in return. They will be paid for what they produce.
Oh, absolutely. They're absolutely paid. They have to accept the contracts if the contract is foisted upon them, but they will be paid a fair market value for what they produce. And in normal cases, when this is implemented, they're asked to produce X number of items, and if X number of items is beyond what is needed, they will be paid for all of those items anyway, and then the government will put the excess in storage. So it's not like they're being harmed in one sense now, and they're also being paid to retool their equipment. You know, it's a difference building Chevrolets from building some other item on the health front, and therefore they will receive money for the tooling and everything else, retooling of equipment to make sure it happens. So it does ripple through their system because they have to stop doing one thing to do another. But at the same time, the intent is to minimize the harm to them and maximize the benefit to the society.
Well, I think what we have to look at here, and I think this is one of the things we've got to realize is, and I'm going to go to Than on this for a moment. It's Than. The fact is that everybody is having to have a degree of flexibility right now. We're going to talk about in the second half hour some of the stuff coming out of Nancy Pelosi about what did he know and when did he know it, and like, here we go again. But right now, flexibility is the key.
Everybody's got to be flexible. Everybody's got to be willing to do what they can with what they have in their hand to help here. And Jay, I've been the most heartened by this approach from the White House because the vast majority of industry, I know Wes talked about one exception, which clearly the president responded to properly, but the vast majority of industry has come forward voluntarily and eagerly to do what they can do. I know the president highlighted a few of those yesterday, but look, whether it's industry or private individuals, all of us need to be coming together and thinking about what do we have that can help those most vulnerable. And there's a little bit of a carrot and a stick approach here from the White House, Jay. But I would tell you, I think it's working because the vast majority of both private individuals and industry are taking the carrot approach and actually trying to get ahead of having forced to produce something.
All right. Well, Wes and Skip, we appreciate you being with us. Skip, very quickly, we've got a letter going out today to the United Nations. What's the topic? Very quickly.
Okay, every month we send a letter to the incoming president of the UN Security Council talking about the Palestinian attempts to get around all the agreements they've made with Israel and to have the UN enforce their desires and force them on Israel. We are sending out a letter to the incoming president of the UN Security Council explaining these things to him.
Yep.
And encouraging him not to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, both on the air, in the courts, at the UN, continue. Your support of the ACLJ this last day of the month in our matching challenge campaign makes a huge difference, especially online giving right now since we can't really open much mail. ACLJ.org for that, ACLJ.org, and your gift will be doubled.
Yeah, double the impact of your donation. Last day of our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Donate today as we work around the clock on all these issues, including this upcoming possibly fourth stimulus.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Phone calls coming in about a lot about the legislation still, the economic impact, because sure. As Senator Lindsey Graham said, you know, we're talking about this idea of a fourth major piece of legislation, but the American people have not yet really seen what was just passed actually hit their pocketbooks yet. The employers, the small businesses are starting to make their request for their loans that could turn into grants. But we got a lot of questions about all this. So let's go right to the phone. Let's go to Mary first in California, online too. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate what you guys do.
Thanks.
My question is I want my church to apply for the loan.
Yes. Yep.
What do I do? Where do I go?
Okay, so let me just say something really quickly. Churches qualify. This is a huge plus in this legislation. Nonprofits, churches qualify. So if your church is in need of funds, it's going to be a very straightforward process. Funds could be available as early as this Friday. That's what Larry Kudlow has said. That's what Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said. Yep. So Steve said that. So it's a very straightforward process. Basically, they've got your tax returns. For your churches in church case, they may not. So you may have to provide financial information. And then
they would have payroll taxes.
But they would have payroll taxes, and that's what a lot of this is based on.
Yeah, because so what you do is you go to the SBA. It's the Small Business Administration
website,
sba.gov. It says right on the front of their website right now, Small Business Guidance and Loan Resources. Your church qualifies for that to be an applicant. What you focus in on is these are loans that can turn to grants. That means that if you comply with it, you don't have to pay it back. It actually becomes a grant from the government, but you start off as a loan. It is for salaries, so you can't fire any staff, you can't furlough any staff. You
right.
have to continue to pay staff. It's for things like mortgage and rent and the basic facility needs to keep your church or your organization.
And what you
funded.
Said is really important. It is a loan initially, but it turns into a grant.
If you follow it.
If you follow it. Now, we just posted at aclj.org, and this is what I'm telling you. We're working right through as these issues come up. We know this is relevant to the churches. Our church is eligible for COVID-19 pandemic relief. It's by Walter Weber. The answer is yes, by the way, as Jordan just said. But that resource is available at aclj.org. And I use that to tell you that we talked about flexibility earlier. Institutionally, flexibility for organizations like the ACLJ are having to meet the needs or desiring to meet the needs of people in a very different situation now. And I think, Thana, one of the flexibility points, you and I were talking about this just last segment, is our ability to be flexible on these things.
No question about it. Recognizing where you have the opportunity to be generous. And Jay, I think this issue is a very good example of a service that we can provide during this time. If folks go to that blog that you referenced by Walter Weber, they're going to find a list of very commonly asked questions about church eligibility. And Jay, here's maybe the most important thing. They're going to find direct links to the relevant applications on the Small Business Administration's website. Now, these loans are going to be administered a lot of times through a local bank, but we've compiled the direct links where churches need to go to comply. And Jay, you talked about the payroll. These loans, which will turn into grants, will provide up to 8 weeks of payroll plus 25% on top of that for other qualified expenses. So I really encourage churches and other nonprofits that are serving the communities to at least take a look. We worked very hard to make sure they were eligible under this legislation. Now I hope they'll take advantage of it.
By the way, that was a huge move, getting them eligible under the legislation. And I'm sure there's a group like Freedom from the Religion Foundation will probably file suits, but it was a big move. Very positive.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Jackie in Michigan, online 4. Jackie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jackie.
Thank you for taking my call. I am a 75-year-old female. I do not make enough to file income tax. How will I get my stimulus?
All right. So right on IRS.gov, they answer that question for you. In the coming weeks, people who do not file a tax return will need to file a simple tax return form, a simple document.
It's maybe like one or two pages,
yeah,
by the
probably
way.
One pager.
Yep.
So for that, it includes, this is exactly for you, Jackie, low-income taxpayers, senior citizens, Social Security recipients, some veterans, and individuals with disabilities who are otherwise not required to file a tax return. So you'll go, you just check out IRS.gov. You are eligible. You will get that check, and they will just need some information from you so they can get it to you. But they want to get it to you, and they're already saying they're going to have just a simple tax return form. Probably one or two pages, like you said, that you can fill out on your own.
For people that file tax returns, is going to be automatic. And most of it will be directly deposited to your account. So can I do a little bit of a thank you here to people like Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, and his team, because when they looked at the state's computer systems, they recognized quickly, as any of us could tell, that they were 30 to 40 years out of date. Yeah. And that if the states cannot meet the need here financially of getting the money to them, the federal government's going to do it. And that's
unemployment.
Yeah, especially on unemployment. So the full government approach that the president and the vice president talk about, this whole of government approach, is what's going to really help the American people. But again, we want to be in a position to help you, and that's why we're posting this information at aclj.org.
All right, let's take another call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Mark in Texas on line one. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, thank you all so much for what you do. My question is, if you could repeat it, you said it before, but I'm getting a lot of questions asked personally about it. What are your feelings when it's all said and done could possibly be the liability from either countries wanting to know what repercussions can be done to China, people like myself, who my wife was furloughed, corporations asking questions? I know you had mentioned it has to usually be like, you know, terrorism or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, if it was determined, which it has not been, that this was an intentional act of a foreign government, that would be biological terrorism is terrorism. Now, there's been no indication of that as far as we know. Could it be? Anything's possible. Here's what I think you have to look at. Number one, your wife's been furloughed. She qualifies for the government assistance, so make sure you get it. Go to the website, SBA, wherever it might be,
or IRS,
personal thing, and they're going to have it for you.
And extended unemployment.
And they extended unemployment as well, so that's exactly right. Yeah, so you've got that. Let's get through this before we start coming up with who's responsible. I don't know who's responsible. I am concerned, as every American is, that this originated in a place, and I don't trust the information coming out of that particular country.
No, but we also need that country to be producing goods right now.
Yes.
So at a time when we're in a unique spot, but we need China is getting back to work because they kind of hit their peak. Well, supposedly, if you believe their statistics, and I don't take all of them but I don't think they would necessarily get it back to production if they were seeing the levels they were. We need that production. I mean, Than, you know, that's kind of an important point, is that I think we can already cast some blame there. China was not transparent enough with the World Health Organization or with the United States about this problem and how it was spreading within its own society. We know that already. So China, there were mistakes made by China intentionally wrong to the world, but we need China back on the supply line.
Yeah, I don't think they were looking out for the best interest of the world. I really don't. But you're right, Jordan. They're going to be an important partner moving forward. And look, I would just say this is probably largely a policy debate for another day. But if anyone doubted that how important it is for the United States to have operational control of borders and ports of entry, well, my goodness, this episode has sure proven that point. So that is one of those debates, Jordan, that is just not far down the line for the United States.
All right, second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember, final day of our March matching challenge. Double the impact of your support for the ACLJ. We're working, folks, around the clock and on all these issues. And as another stimulus, potentially major piece of legislation coming forward, we'll be there working through it, every piece of it, on behalf of you. Go to aclj.org. Make that donation today. Double the impact. aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And this has half hour, too, as we continue to answer your questions. And with the latest information about COVID-19, remember the president also announced yesterday a new test that would actually be able to determine if you don't have COVID-19 within 5 minutes that you could do on your own, a swab test. So yep. There's a lot happening that I think will happen rapidly in the next week or two, that you're going to more and more resources available to you, depending on where you are in the country, depending on the risk level there. Because we're starting to see kind of where the new epicenters of this virus are, and where resources will need to be. So obviously, that's part one. Now, part two is the stimulus package that was passed, actually the effects of that getting to the American people. We're going to start seeing that in the next week and 2 weeks, really, because we're already into the first week of it. So in the next couple of weeks, people start to see the positive impact of that for one, unemployment, small businesses, trying to keep those alive, if you will, to a certain extent, by keeping people on payrolls instead of furloughing them or firing them. So that'll be important as well. But we're also looking, of course, there's always politics. We still have a general election coming in November.
And there's already politics on this,
Joe
too.
Joe Biden does not get a ton of attention because he's not so great on TV. But who is getting a ton of attention every day, other than the president of the United States, is the governor of New York, who has had these press conferences. Now, New York has been hit the hardest. Yeah. It's important. It's
serious number.
In New York City, of course, is the economic capital for the country, it's kind of a hub. But there's politics coming up. We see Nancy Pelosi politicizing it already.
Already. So I want to play the bite. I mean, the famous John, the famous Watergate line, this is what she uses. Take a listen.
When did this president know about this? And what did he know? What did he know, and when did he know it? That's for an after-action review. But as the president fiddles, people are dying, and we just have to take every precaution.
After-action review. In the middle of all of this.
We know what that means.
Nance, I do know what that means. It's a lot more work for me and other lawyers. But what nonsense in the middle of this to even bring that out. And by the way, what did he know and when did he know it? Of course, is the famous Watergate line. So, Than, are we looking at another series of moves by the House? They're not going to do it in the middle of this because they're not in session, but to even say this is going on to me is incomprehensible.
It's inexcusable.
Yeah.
Inexcusable, Jay, and I would tell you it is extremely frustrating having just lived personally through a week-long's worth of delays that were created by Speaker Pelosi. Look, I'm not trying to make this partisan, but the truth is this last stimulus bill was ready to go to the president's desk until she inserted corporate board diversity, until she inserted wind and solar tax credits, until she inserted what was initially $35 million for the Kennedy Center and was still $25 million in the end, only for them to furlough workers. So,
I like to know what she knew when she knew it, but you know what? I won't want to know that right now because I don't care. Right now, I don't care about that. Everybody's trying to do the best we can to keep the country as safe as we can, and she's already starting the drumbeat of oversight hearings, and here we go again. Do you realize that the impeachment proceedings against this president, which took up a lot of time for Congress and especially the Senate, and a lot of time for his lawyers, was just completed on February 6th, or February 5th, I guess.
Yep.
February 4th, the president gave a State of the Union speech where he said there was a problem with this virus.
Briefings, I guess, they were told the briefings began sometime at the end of January.
Yeah, he mentioned it during the Super Bowl, interview with the Super Bowl. So this idea that Nancy Pelosi wants to turn this into some political charade, that is not good for the American people, nor was what she did for the American people in delaying this very good for the country. But you know what? After-action reports don't matter a lot if a lot of people are getting hurt in the process. So let's focus on keeping everybody safe. That is what we should be focusing on. That's certainly what we're focusing on. If you go to the ACLJ, you're going to find a lot of information to help you on this, on the stimulus, on what it means for churches. We're staying engaged in all these issues. We'll be answering your questions when we come back. Don't forget the ACLJ's matching challenge.
All right, folks, again, we encourage you, go to aclj.org, double the impact your donation. It's the final day to do it, March Matching Challenge, aclj.org. Donate today.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to write to phone calls. People have been holding on. Let's go to Betty in California on line three. Betty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for everything you do. You help so many of us. And my question is, we were just talking about Nancy Pelosi, and she tried so hard to get money for, you know, like her projects, the Green New Deal, and even I heard congressional salaries and expenses. So I'm wondering if there's any way to curb that for this this new bill.
Well, the way you curb it, Betty, is you got to be really vigilant. And as Stan Bennett will tell you, we had a team on this from the moment go when it went from, and he's going to hold it up for those that are watching on TV or on your social media platforms. Is this the original one or is this the final one, Than?
Jay, these are the two bills that she put forward in the midst of this that delayed it for a week.
There it is. It's about a foot tall, looking on the screen here. And so, yeah, we're going to have to be, Betty, we're going to have to be right on top of it. And to make sure that, and I think what Lindsey Graham just said is really critical. I don't know if we have that bite. But what he said was, if there is a phase four and it has nothing to do with the stimulus for the economy, it doesn't go in there. And that is the attitude we need to be taking without any question, in my view. Betty, thanks for calling in. Let's go ahead and take another call. Phone lines are open, 800-684-3110.
All right, back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. John in Missouri on line five. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I saw this morning Nancy on Morning Joe still talking up the vote by mail thing. I guess I have some serious concerns. I mean, I personally received, I believe, four letters from the Census Bureau this year to do the census. And with the last legislation, the Dems wanting to buy out the U.S. Postal Service, what's the chances of this actually going through?
Well, I think, listen, voting by, first of all, we don't know where we're going to be in November yet. Voting by mail, I think you raise, there's a lot of concerns of that.
A lot of security concerns.
About our the integrity of our election. So, Than, I don't think that would be in round four. I think that would be something that would have to be determined by, we'd have to have a serious debate in Congress on if this is a virus that continues to be, pose a threat where we cannot hold elections, not even, I mean, there's still, people do vote by mail. Remember, you could do that already. That you have to put in a request for an absentee ballot. So we allow that in our country.
There may be longer lines with higher social distancing. Who knows?
The question is, where are we? I'd say probably late in the summer, so that we can make decisions about early in the fall for the election, Than?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. I think the important thing in this particular debate is that the federal government, Washington, D.C., not take those decisions from the states. And that is what the Pelosi bill wanted to do, mandate states to follow the edicts coming out of Washington, D.C. Jordan, if the situation that you're describing means that states do have to get creative with how the November election is handled, I think the appropriate way is actually what ended up in the final version or something close to it, where maybe they get some dollar assistance right from Washington, D.C., but Jordan, the decisions are still run by the state. So, you know, a state like California can't tell a state like Idaho how to run their local elections. Right. They're decentralized for a reason, Jordan, and that's where it's got
to
stay.
So it'd be more like providing resources appropriately to states if this is necessary in November. We, you know, pray and hope that it's not. But if it is, I mean, there's also questions too about the Democrat primary moving. You know, how is that moving forward exactly with those cancellations? So again, a lot of this will be what happens in the next few months.
Look, I mean, things are, these are, we talk about flexibility and flux. You know where I was supposed to be today? Right now?
Yep.
Arguing in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. Right this minute. I was supposed to be presenting oral arguments before the Supreme Court on some cases involving the president and Congress and a district attorney in New York. Obviously, the district attorney in New York couldn't come because he would have to be quarantined for 14 days. Supreme Court canceled oral arguments for March. They have an issue what they're going to do in April. I suspect they're going to cancel in April because the president's already extended things out to April. But things are different. So you have to, there's going to be some flexibility. Even with these institutions, they're going to have to decide how they're going to address difficult situation, but I was literally going to be arguing right now, probably be finishing it up.
You know, what's interesting too is we have the Little Sisters of the Poor case. That was going to be April 29th. We don't know exactly. We haven't heard
it's not going to
100% for the Supreme Court, but it's you know, it's not very unlikely.
Happen.
So all of these cases are very important. The cases of, on behalf of the President of the United States, cases of Little Sisters of the Poor and the contraceptive and abortifacient a mandate applying to them.
Look, there's no, whether it's the Little Sisters of the Poor, the President of the United States, or Google and Oracle.
Yeah.
Those cases cannot be argued right now.
No. I mean, so this is the way that this has changed the country, the impact it's had. Of course, the first impacts we have is of the individuals and the economic impact, but also the court systems. And I think that people will start seeing the effects of that. It's not, those are not necessarily ones you feel like the effect of in a week, but in a few weeks from now, when you realize how much has been put on hold, not just in our personal lives, but also kind of corporately as a country and as states, because of the court systems not being not functioning either for the most part. Let's go grab another phone call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Diane in North Carolina, online too. Diane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, thank you for taking my call and for all of your work.
Thank you.
My question is, I am a retired nurse, and
yes.
I'm on a healthcare support page on Facebook.
Yes.
And every day, almost every comment talks about the lack of masks and all.
Yes.
Where are all the ones that are being made? I know Hanes and Fruit of the Loom teamed up and have been sewing a million
and
of them.
Churches
everywhere.
The MyPillow, they said they're going to produce them as well.
That's just starting. I think that's where
well,
are
there's
they?
Another thing. I a friend of mine who's a physician, very well-known cardiologist, wrote me about that yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
And he said, look, because there's all this concern the president's had about, could it really be 300,000 masks going out the door? Is that what's happening? You know, and he actually says, well, you should always check for fraud in that thing. The reality is they are having to use masks in ways they never thought about before. All the food staff, the janitorial staff.
Right.
And they're having to discard them because of...
Yeah, so it's people that wouldn't usually be wearing masks
exactly.
are wearing masks.
And so everybody's wearing a mask. Patients,
yeah.
Visitors, although there's no real visitors anymore. So
there is also talk, and I think, Diane, to your point,
yep.
The U.S. is now reevaluating the Surgeon General, whether we should all be wearing masks as well. For those, when we do go to your essential services, like to the store, grocery store, other countries, they do. Our country so far has said that they don't believe that has been effective and a tool in stopping this.
That may be
changing. They're changing this because now the guidelines are looking like 6 feet may not be enough, that it's really 27 feet, which if you think about that, it's going to be interesting to see this press conference later today.
Yeah.
Because 27 feet, how do you go to a grocery store? How do you operate those at all? I mean, there's social distancing. Then you start wearing masks. So there's going to be another demand on the masks. I think it's important why those businesses have got to turn that can create them. because I think that's going to be a public need for those. The first need, of course, will be the healthcare frontline workers. But then there might be a second need for those who's the designated kind of person in the family to go to the store, or for those shopping companies who are going out and getting it for people.
Van, how is it up? Because you're in the D.C. metro area. How are things there for the civilian population, like going to the grocery store, those kind of things?
Yeah, I think for the most part, manageable, Jay. I mean, all three jurisdictions here, Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. have stay-in-place orders. Virginia's actually is until June the 10th. Yeah. Maryland's, we don't know. D.C.'s is April 24th. But, Jay, a couple of interesting things. I mean, like the local Home Depot, which is an essential business, people are allowed to go. They're limiting the number inside at one time. So if you go to the parking lot, you'll see a line outside spaced apart. And when one comes out, another goes in. So just things like that, even the things that are essential and you're permitted to do, they take longer to do. And there are additional precautions in line. But by and large, Jay, I actually think the population is abiding by it pretty well in this region.
Yeah, I think that's true. We're going to find out. I mean, the social distancing is such a big part of this not being worse than it will be, and it's obviously going to be bad, period. But anyways, we need to be praying for that. We just got word earlier that Chris Cuomo,
yeah,
from CNN, who's a friend of mine, and of course I've been on his broadcast.
The brother of the governor has been on TV every day.
Yeah, he's got it. So our thoughts and prayers to him. I sent him a note just a minute ago. And look, this is not political parties. This is an indiscriminate enemy. They don't discriminate. They're going to, it hits who it hits. And we just need to be praying for our fellow citizens and being really smart on how we conduct our affairs and our sanitation habits. I think that's absolutely critical. It's a minute left. So
yeah, we've got another segment coming up. We'll continue to take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Lots of different really good calls and questions we can answer for you. So stay on the line. If you're on the line, we'll get to your phone calls in the order they've come in, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, this is an important day for us. Final day of the month. Final day of the March Matching Challenge. Donate online at aclj.org. And we're really encouraging people, make those donations online. It's safe. It's secure. You don't have to go put anything in the mailbox. You don't have to go touch anything. You know, you're using your own phone.
We really
computer.
Want to encourage online.
And again, we get those resources immediately.
Now, let me tell you something we're going to do tonight. Now, normally, in the last day of the campaign, when we're in a Matching Challenge campaign, we have a concert for the band. We're not going to be able to do that tonight, obviously, because we're not going to put a bunch of older guys, some of my bandmates, in a room together. That's just not feasible. But what we are thinking about doing, and we probably will do, is tonight at about probably 8 o'clock Eastern time, I'm going to go on Facebook and Periscope and be able to talk to you about where we are in our Matching Challenge, what we're looking at as cases, and be able to answer your questions as well. So we're going to do that tonight, more than likely. Probably coming out of my home office at that point, I'm sure. So we'll be back with more in a moment.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to go right to the phone lines in the order they've come in. Let's go to Mike in Maine on line one. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan, Jay, everybody. Thank you so much for taking my call and for all that you do for the kingdom of God. We'll get through this situation that we're in. My question is this. I watched the coverage this morning about phase four coming out in Congress. And what I wonder about is, wouldn't it be prudent to give some time for phase three to go to work, see how that does, see what we need to do differently before we rush right into
the work? Yeah, I mean, I think, Mike, we're going to know in 2 weeks. I mean, the check's got to get out to people. Lindsey Graham was right about that. He said that. He said we got to make sure phase three works. That's true. But Than, to get to what they're talking about in phase four, the president's talking about a $2 million infrastructure plan to get people back to work and to get, you know, we have 0% interest rates right now. It's a good time to actually do the work because people aren't utilizing the transportation routes the same way. You don't see, you know, the same kind of traffic patterns at all because of the stay-at-home orders. Three out of every four Americans is under one of those kind of orders. So you do this, and it's gonna take time. This doesn't have to be an emergency in the way that the last package was to really save the American worker, save people, save jobs if they can, save companies, individuals. But again, a big infrastructure bill needs to start. They need to start working on it, and you said they're going to start in a couple of weeks, a few weeks.
Yeah, and I think drafting already has started now. I mean, look, from a perspective off the Hill, Jordan, the answer to the question is sort of yes, because in a couple of weeks, maybe there's a need for more direct stimulus like we saw in this, and there would have to be a shift. But, Jordan, the planning to properly shift to an infrastructure package like the one you're talking about, it's got to start now. And why does it have to start now? So it doesn't end up like that 2,000-page Nancy Pelosi bill stocked full with wish list items for the left. So I think you've got to prepare the drafting now and be ready for that shift. Now, do we have to reevaluate in 2 weeks and see if we're ready for that shift or if the phase four needs to look a little bit more like phase three? Well, the answer to that is yes, but you prepare now so that you're not up against a deadline again.
All right, back to the phones we go. Heather in Montana on line four. Heather, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. Sure. And thank you for all that you guys are doing. My question is this. I was wondering, with the new stimulus bill, is there anything in there for smaller healthcare companies so that they can help their company, their employees, excuse me, when they have to take mandatory leave because they've been on quarantine for COVID-19?
Yes.
Because
there is. Because it's designed for the SBA portion of it is designed for small business.
So you don't have to put anybody on furlough.
Right.
In that kind of situation, so you can continue, so you can apply for this. You're the exact kind of company that can apply for the loan. The loan will actually become a grant if you follow the rules. So that means you'll never have to pay it back. And that loan is specifically for you to be able to pay your employees. That's one of the key parts. There's other parts like paying the rent on the building or the mortgage on the building if you own it. But again, the SBA has got this set up right on SBA.gov. And it's already there. This is not something that will be available. These are available for you to start making these applications now. And so I would encourage you or whoever the employer is to make those applications now.
And Than points out a very important point, and there's a specific allocation of funds in the legislation that passed for healthcare companies.
Yeah, it's on top of everything that Jordan just talked about. They absolutely should do what Jordan talked about, but there's $100 billion in here specifically for companies like the caller's talking about, for funds for doctors, nurses, and others who are directly quarantined or otherwise affected. So in the case of a healthcare company, Jay, it's both the small business and this $100 billion fund.
Right. All right, let's take another call.
All right, let's go back. This is an interesting one. Cambria in Utah on line three. Cambria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm curious, what on earth is the big deal about the Kennedy Center? Why did Nancy Pelosi want to fund them?
Well, it was put in there for funding, and the president agreed to it. Part of that was political negotiation, but also part of it was to maintain the facility, and the concern was if you let some of this continue without being repaired, you're end up going to be doubling and tripling your costs. I think the president put on his construction hat.
Yeah, it's an aging facility. If you've attended, if you've been to it before, or if you've ever looked, you know, if you've been to the parking deck before there before, this is something again. You got to keep these up. It's a national cost, and again, now what is interesting, and I think the Kennedy Center will be a little explaining to do. They furloughed their entire orchestra.
Yep.
They said they'll get their last paycheck. So they got $25 million. That's mostly for the building.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to it was not.
But those individuals furloughed will be able to get unemployment.
Yeah. I mean, so again, it's just it was unique. But in a $2 trillion plan, these $25 million plan, as long as it's not something, like abortion funding and things like that, you've got to make some compromises. Some deals will have to be made. That was one of them. Let's go back to the phones. Ann calling in from Tennessee online too. Ann, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Ann. Thank you. If I had a mask, I would wear it just to protect me from putting my hands on my face, which is apparently how we would catch the virus.
Well, it's one of the ways, you know, if when you don't touch your face as much as we all usually do, is certainly one of the ways they say you could decrease your chances, not the only way. But the mask really is about these airborne. So when we all talk, things come out of our mouth. It's considered like spit, but you don't necessarily see it. We're not even talking about the kind of like the little spit that you might see if someone's shouting. There's invisible. And how far does that travel? And that's the new question. The Surgeon General is reevaluating. So the first line from the U.S. was that it's not that effective when you're talking about an airborne disease. It's more for if you've got it, or so you're not spreading it to more people, or for, of course, healthcare workers who are up close and they're right next to people, so where those bodily fluids. And so that's the question again. It's being reevaluated. You know, that's as far as we can go on the air today.
We'll know a lot more about it tonight.
They're going to come up with recommendations again, new recommendations.
Let's try to grab these two if possible.
Yeah, let's go to Louis calling in from Arkansas on line 6.
Louis, really quick, please.
Yeah. Okay, I'm a 75-year-old veteran.
Yes, sir.
Vietnam veteran.
Thanks for your service.
I was service-connected disability from Vietnam. I'm also drawing Social Security retirement. And I want to know, do I have to fill out any kind of form?
Okay, so Thane, in that situation where you're on Social Security and disability, do you need to fill out the form that IRS.gov?
Yeah, likely not, Jordan, but I would encourage him very strongly to monitor IRS.gov specifically for his situation, because some people, depending where their income lands, will need to follow the additional guidance that will be posted there soon. IRS.gov, it's the very first thing listed.
So, again, so you encourage people. There's going to be, and we've got it up on the Facebook page right now, and for Periscope, you could have seen it. It says right on the top left of it is where you'd find out all the information about that. But listen, you're in your 70s. You want to know, do you have to fill out these forms? One thing, it's not going to hurt to fill out a form that you have no taxes to. You're not paying taxes, but you fill that form out right now. You know they're going to have the information to get you that check, because there's also the direct deposit. They are going to have your information to make that direct deposit, and you are eligible for that. So make sure that when the government is making this available to you, make sure that you are taking advantage of what is available to you. The government can only find out as much info as they have about you. So again, I encourage people, these are easy places to go: IRS.gov for individuals, SBA.gov for small businesses, including, by the way, not just churches, but all 501c3. So if you have a nonprofit organization as well, you are eligible for those funds. So let me encourage you right now, this is our final day of our matching challenge. Double the impact your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Now support our work as it continues around the clock.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.